Good morning, Mike and Dave. How's everything?
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
So that was fun.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was a good time.
I love that we're now playing Grateful Dead music on the bed. That was a big thing with the Lithuanian national
team. No doubt about it.
And to this day, a lot of those guys still wear the T-shirts that you saw.
As AK had on this morning proudly. Billy talked about seeing them at the Sphere in Vegas.
My buddy saw him at the Sphere and said it was an unbelievable thing. And he actually sent me some tape of it. It was pretty cool to see. That Sphere thing
was
pretty awesome.
Yeah. It was fun to hear AK talk about being in Italy and doing all the adventure stuff. It was a lot of fun to get them in an environment that isn't as stiff or controlled and all the things. And, you know, it's good for them to do that, to talk informally about certain things and then get on the record about certain things that will matter this season, which brings us to
a couple of things they said. I thought there were a couple of really interesting things that were said. Maybe the most important one was hearing them say they're going to try to win every game.
Big picture, I think you're right. When I addressed AK about, you know how it works. We talk about it all the time. The protected top 10 pick.
Yes.
Are you going to be too good? What if you are on the flirting with a play-in spot and get in, and you don't make it, and then you squander that draft pick? A lot of executives, a lot of teams in this position would be tanking, for lack of a better term.
The Bulls still owe a first-round draft pick to Orlando to finish the Nikola Vucevic trade. So they've got their first-round pick is protected if they finish in the top 10. In other words,
the bottom
10. Yeah, there are 30 teams in the league. They would have to be like the 21st team in order to hold on to their pick, and that's it in the lottery, and then who knows where they wind up with that. But
The backdrop for this season.
That's the backdrop for this season.
And I think then when you talk about Zach LaVine coming back, Lonzo Ball contributing, you talk about a team that has designs and being more competitive than maybe you would think for a team that would be angling to be one of the worst 10 teams in the NBA. So hearing AK say on the record in this environment, we want to win, is not insignificant.
No,
it's probably the biggest takeaway from anything news-wise today that we heard. Lonzo Ball coming back, that's interesting. We can talk about that.
Yes.
But the fact that the Bulls are entering this season on the brink of training camp, wanting to win more games than they lose, and wanting to win to compete for a playoff spot is interesting.
I think it's also interesting. We had talked about Matas Buzelis, and should he start the year at the G League? Would he start the year at the G League? We mentioned that, and we kind of discussed that a little bit. We didn't ask them that question, but that was brought up, that maybe he needs to be in the G League. That, I haven't heard them talk about. I think we all know it. I think not that we all know he belongs there, but we all know that one of the options they would have is to make sure that he's getting enough playing time. And if he's not going to get playing time with this group, you would want him to get playing time at the G League level. And Billy flat out talked about development and what that meant and how it meant, what it meant for different players. And he mentioned that fact.
Well, I think one question is related to the other.
Yes.
And one answer is related to the other. If the Bulls, as we said, and we heard AK reiterate, want to win, then you're more willing and likely to have your first-round draft pick, who is still a teenager, develop at the G League. If you are not concerned about wins and losses and you're strictly a developmental season, you've defined it as that, then you're going to play him against NBA competition to maybe throw him in the deep end. Some teams do it that way. I don't think the Bulls are going to do that with Buzelis based only on what we heard today.
Yeah.
Before we heard that, I don't think we knew. Because why it was somewhat like, well, he's already been in the G League. Is he going to be? What are they going to do? Oh, they want to win. All right. Well, you're not going to see much of the rookie.
Well, no, I don't think he fits into that plan. I do think that they could operate in two different ways. In other words, I think they could come out and they could play their veteran players, and you know, we all envision a lineup that would have Josh Giddey and Coby White and Patrick Williams and Vooch and Zach LaVine as their starting five. And then we'll see what happens with that group, see how that develops into perhaps a trade bid for Zach LaVine, for Vooch, who's running out of contract, see if that ends up happening, and then go young, then go with kind of the younger players. So they may try to win until they no longer are trying to win. In other words, they may try to win until they trade some people, and then that may change. And I'm not predicting
anything. They're curious about how good they're going to be as well.
I think they
don't know how much Lonzo Ball is going to resemble the player that he was before the injury and all the surgeries. They don't know what kind of guy Zach LaVine will be on the court functioning with Coby White, who is not the same player as he was.
He's a better player than
last
he was.
Zach played with him. So there's got to be that kind of ascension to take into consideration. Also, Patrick Williams. Remember a couple years ago when the Bulls were playing out the string? They had nothing to play for, and I don't think that the Warren played a game. And I think they were in Minnesota, and Zach was out. Patrick Williams
had about a 30-point game
because he was aggressive,
because
he hunted his shots, because he was taking the ball to the basket, because he wanted to be the guy.
Yeah.
And if he's more of the guy, what do you have in him? He was the fourth overall pick for a reason. Now, I know we're all tired of waiting for Patrick Williams, but Billy Donovan's answer, though, was very telling to me. It's like, you know, now he's been there 5 years. This is going to be his fifth season.
Yeah.
He's not a teenager any longer.
Yeah.
Maybe he's ready, based on the adversity he's overcome, to be the guy he finally was projected to be in year five.
I feel more excited about the season. We came in this morning talking about the White Sox losing, and then, you know, that put me in a foul mood thinking about our sports teams.
They won last night, and you're still in a foul mood about the White Sox.
All we talk
they
about
had the
is
the highlight of the
losing.
Season that you want to deny.
We only talk about their losing because they're about to be the losingest team in Major League Baseball history. So we talk about that, and we talk about it in that sense. And whether they won last night, we know what we're talking about, and we know Dustin celebrating it. So it's difficult. And I kept thinking, oh, boy, now the Bulls are coming. I feel more hopeful for the Bulls season than I did before we had this conversation.
That means this was well worth the effort.
Just for
me. To get you in a frame of mind that's positive.
Lovely, happy.
Now let's do hockey.
Yeah. Okay.
Because, you know what? The Blackhawks are going to be pretty good, too. And we could sit here and talk Blackhawks. We won't. Don't worry. You're here for a basketball. But you look at the Hawks offseason, and they could be just as optimistic because they are done with the losing by design portion of the program.
So now everything's happy? Is that what just
happened? No. I'm saying that you have to find encouragement where
so
you can find
it. So the Bears are turning it around?
No. Gosh, don't get me going on that.
Okay.
I mean, you just cheered me up. Don't bring me down.
No, I really enjoyed getting a vision from these guys. And you know, listen, like we talked about, the Eastern Conference, there are some bad teams in the Eastern Conference. There is a Nets team that's projected to win 19 games, not even win 20 games by the fine folks in Las Vegas. So I think that's significant. I think there are worse teams than the Bulls, let's put it that way.
Well, I think that's good. And you look at the talent on the roster, and there should be.
Yeah.
Teams worse than the Bulls. We haven't really talked about Ayo much because he's ready to. You know, I think he took a step last year that was somewhat overlooked by the fact that Coby White was as good as he was.
Right.
Now, I still have major questions about their ability to defend, even though in today's positionless NBA, protecting the rim is less important than maybe protecting the three-point line. But I still think that there's a void there that they did not fill adequately in the offseason. There are lots of reasons that you could be optimistic if you believe in Dalen Terry, if you believe in Julian Phillips, if you believe in these guys taking that next step. Well, I can see the optimism, but that's a pretty quantum leap of faith, I think, right now.
Yeah, we mentioned the five guys, right? The five starters. I also believe in Ayo. I also believe in the fact that Jalen Smith will get a good run. I think he's going to be part of the rotation. I don't know. I don't know if Dalen Terry is. I don't know if Julian Phillips is. I think maybe Torrey Craig is, although he's 33 years old.
He's got to stay healthy.
But he can hit a three.
Yeah, but if he's healthy.
He's done things in the NBA before.
Yeah.
So
no
I'll
doubt
take
about that.
I don't know. I don't think that we can sit here and rattle off more than nine guys that would be a part of the rotation, but apparently there will be more because Lonzo Ball's going to be part of it. And
there's some definite maybes.
Yeah.
Definite maybes.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the name on the roster that you will probably bring up in a few months and laugh because it won't be consequential. But the name on the roster that I find somewhat intriguing, I don't want to say most intriguing because I don't want it to come back, but Adama Sanogo is a guy that we talk about G League success. You talk about the cup of coffee he had at the end of last season. You
talk about UConn.
They
winning the title with
UConn. Yeah, he's obviously a guy who did a lot there. And I think when he played there, you saw some glimpses of the potential that he has. I don't know if he is an NBA tweener. I don't know if he's an NBA player. But I do like the potential there when we're talking about all things are possible at the beginning of a season. Adama Sanogo is a player that I think has some ability. And the Bulls might give him some opportunity. And if he can take advantage of that, I wonder. I wonder about where he fits in this rotation and how well he fits on the roster.
Yeah, I don't think he fits on the roster. I mean, it'd be a great story if he did, but I think he's kind of one of those G League guys that, you know, he may just be kind of the 4A player, right? I mean, and that's not taking a shot at
him. Why you bring
him
up the Sox again?
Oh, boy, because they're a 4A team.
They have a lot of... Yeah.
They're more AAA than 4A. Let's get that straight. AA? No.
One guy they didn't mention, and I wondered too, we could go every player and get their take on him, but Chris Duarte, the player who came from Sacramento in the sign and trade, you should throw your hands up there. Somebody's got to take shots.
Yeah.
He's a floor spacer.
He might not be on the roster, David. Honestly, I'm not saying.
Where's KC? Okay. Still here? He's going to be on the roster.
Maybe.
Chris Duarte, you don't think he's going to be on the roster?
I don't know. It seems like that's a repetitive player. Seems like they got a lot of guys kind of ahead of him when you start thinking about.
6'5 wing who can shoot the three. Okay. I think you got to find a spot for
Kobe, him. Kobe, Io, is Dalen Terry on the team? I just don't know that he fits on the team.
You mentioned Dalen Terry. I don't know how much I should trust Dalen Terry.
We'll be interviewing everyone before the Olympics are over. Wait a minute. No. It's the trip to Paris.
Chris Duarte can do one thing that Dalen Terry has struggled at, and that is shoot from the perimeter.
Can he?
Yeah, he can.
All right.
I think. I'm not going to be like waving the flag for Chris Duarte, but just remember this moment when he goes for 17, and you're like, where did he come from? Oh, I remember you telling me back in September.
Okay. All my positivity after talking to these guys has now gone right down the turlet thanks to Sanogo and Duarte. I hope
Why?
You're happy
because
with
I
yourself.
Wanna, listen, you're Mr. Bottom of the roster. If you want to talk...
I'm bottom of the roster.
Look at the last couple guys to make the team. Sanogo and Duarte could be the last couple guys. Maybe they're out of the rotation.
I'm bottom
at the
of the roster with an NFL team, especially when I'm told that it's going to be hard to make the team. And then you keep a guy that didn't belong.
Stop going back to the Bears.
I'm not going back to the Bears.
Don't bring me down.
I just think you're confusing me with someone else.
Don't kill my buzz. Don't kill my buzz.
I'm not bottom of the Bulls roster.
All right. So Chris Duarte is
top of the roster guy.
He's a 35% three-point shooter over the course of his career.
Okay.
6'5", I don't know. I just think you might have a shot.
Torrey Craig, what is his three-point shooting? I think you might prefer him. That's all.
I'm very curious about Josh Giddey. I like what they had to say about him coming from Oklahoma City. He did play a lot of basketball there, just didn't fit in the rotation during the playoffs. But that was a very good team, the number one seed. So Josh Giddey is also a guy that you wonder how he's going to realize his potential here in Chicago. You hope he can.
All right. I'll tell you what we're going to do is we're going to get a microphone out. Seriously. And then anybody who has a question of any kind about any of our teams can ask a question. We're going to go to our audience here and let you ask a question or make a comment about the Chicago sports scene. We're going to do that next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We got a live audience this morning.
All right.
Thank you, everyone, for
Thank
coming
you for
down.
Coming. Great time.
Yeah, and thanks to everybody that came down but has to leave because they've got work. That happens,
but it was great to see everybody here at 5 in the morning.
Yeah, that was insane, man. Congratulations to all of you for beating us in.
That was today, right?
I don't know. That might have been yesterday. So we've got a microphone here, right? Shad has the mic. Let's get any questions you might have about boy.
Shad has the mic.
Yeah.
Boy, that sounds dangerous.
You're in charge, buddy.
All right, Shad.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Welcome.
Got you covered. I know you didn't want to be upset this morning, Dave. I know you don't want to talk about the Bears, but I have to.
Okay.
Your boy Dan Reeder was on the radio
last
week afternoon with Speaks. Mm-hmm. They were asking questions. What do we ask Shane Waldron about? You know, what is the emphasis? You know, and we looked at the approach of the game and what it turned out to be. Let me ask you this, Dave. I know in Mully's, I think he shared his comment towards the development or what he wanted to see out of Caleb's expectation for the season. Would you sacrifice a little development on Caleb if it meant 10 wins and a playoff opportunity for this team this year? If you pivot based on complementary football, which is what Eberflus wants to do.
So maybe having more of a game manager, take fewer chances than
sort of like Seattle and Pete Carroll did, Daryl Bevel did with Russell Wilson.
I think it's a good question, an appropriate one after his first three games when he's had five turnovers. So I might have answered it differently before the season when you have when I didn't expect him to be as erratic or maybe inaccurate as he has been at times. So I will definitely look at that differently now. So that's a good point. Yes, I think I would. I would think because if you're asking him to do less, I don't think you want to coach the special out of him. You're still going to see those things, I think, surface naturally. But what we have seen in the losses, the last two games specifically, is that when he's under pressure and you come after him, he'll throw you the football. You don't want that to be the case. You don't want it to be a reputation that spreads and sticks. So I would think that maybe this is the week that maybe you don't necessarily – or you want to have the point of emphasis, try to do less and try to take fewer chances. And then you get back to the point where maybe you're ready to, you know, be risky again.
Right.
But right now, yeah, I would take 10 wins for a developmental season and a quarterback that learns how to take care of the football.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we talked about the ultra conservative idea of kicking field goals as opposed to chasing touchdowns, as we were told. Let me tell you something. Kick a couple field goals, win the game, then you can go chase touchdowns. There'll be time to chase touchdowns. I just feel like they need to win right now, not just for the kid, but for the team and for the fan base and for everybody. Just win games.
I think there's got to be a sense of urgency for the football team that can't equal a desperate approach by the quarterback.
Yeah.
You have to find a balance there because the Bears, as a football team, do need a sense of urgency because they can't lose three in a row. But if you're Caleb Williams, you can't approach that and interpret that as this is desperate times, call for desperate measures. I'm just going to throw the ball up for grabs. You've got to be even smarter and safer with the football under those circumstances.
Don't throw it 50 times.
Yeah,
right?
That too. Who's next?
Who else? Anybody else got a question? Where are we at?
In the back.
Okay.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
My name is George.
Hi, George.
First time here. It's a privilege. I want to thank Justin for taking my call. I was the sixth caller. I got a simple question. Who are we going with Sunday, the Bears or the Rams? Starting with you, Dustin.
Ooh, wow.
The Bears, no doubt.
Bears. Dustin picked the Bears. He doesn't even have to do that till Friday morning.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday morning. Okay. Mully does not like to be rushed with his predictions.
Mully
it is Wednesday. Mully needs two injury reports.
I need
and then two
injury
reports.
I need to listen to what these people say at the podium.
And then a stiff drink.
I need a shot of courage.
Yeah. And then maybe he'll change it twice more before kickoff.
I would like to point out that Mully is unbeaten thus far this year. If we're going to keep that don't applaud because I picked against him within.
Yeah, you did. He picked the Colts. I'm not. Yeah. I will buy you some time. I don't really like the Bears' chances this week. I don't have a lot of confidence in their ability to run the football. I know they're at home. I love the defense. I like the way they're playing.
Yeah.
They're creating takeaways. But if you're asking me on Wednesday morning before we see the injury reports, but how much worse can the injury report get for the Rams? Really can't get much worse unless Matthew Stafford doesn't make the trip. I'd like to tell you differently. Appreciate you coming. But right now, it's hard for me to see the Bears beating the Rams.
Do not like the coaching matchup at all.
That's it for me.
Don't like it.
They just beat the 49ers without everybody.
Sean McVay invented football. I don't know if anyone's aware. If he sneezes in your presence, you are hired as an offensive coordinator. That is the reality.
He's a stud.
Go ahead, sir.
Patrick from Gage Park. Hi, Mom. Always wanted to do that. I got two questions. What do you guys think of the $90 million offered to or given to Patrick Williams? And I know what Dustin thinks about this, but what do you guys think about a fan who roots for both Chicago baseball teams at the same time?
Well, Patrick Williams, that's just the going rate for a player of his stature and what they're asking of him. It seems like an exorbitant amount of money for somebody who has not reached his potential and now heading into his fifth year. But I also think it's better than the alternative. I don't think that we're going to move on from Patrick Williams. They've invested too much time, money, and resources into waiting for him to arrive. As for rooting for both teams, I don't think you can tell people how to fan.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that, but you're fanning wrong if you're rooting for both teams. I won't tell you how to do
it. No. That's fine.
I can say is you're wrong.
Yeah. Okay. That's not me, by the way. Who are you talking about, Patrick? Who is the person that you're referring to that roots for both teams? You do?
Oh.
Oh, okay. I thought that maybe. Yeah. Nice to see you, though.
Gary from Arlington Heights. Dave, Mike, do you think letting David Montgomery go, who's a scoring touchdown machine, was a big mistake by the Bears?
Great question.
One of many. I mean, it wouldn't be the particular singular mistake. I think they could have handled that better, and I think when he had the opportunity to leave, he took it.
See?
And he probably did the right thing.
The question assumes that the Bears could have done something to prevent him from leaving, and he was a free agent. He chose the Lions over the Bears, and at the time, it stung, but it was the right choice because of, number one, what he thought that they were, you know, on the verge of. And number two, the way they're using him behind that offensive line, that would be more appealing to me as a running back.
Line.
But you go back to the Bears, and I know it's an easy thing to point out, and I probably have criticized it in the past, but then you start to think about what would have been the alternative, extending him? I don't think you wanted to extend a running back because the money would have been lot more than you're willing to pay a running back in today's going rate. You probably could have maybe split the difference or made him a better offer than you did. That's debatable.
It's kind of arrogant to say we'll match the offer and then you can stay with us. And
they made some assumptions about him that weren't true.
Yes, exactly.
They thought that he would love being a Bear as much as they loved having him be a Bear. And he wasn't interested in staying because the culture wasn't as great as they thought it was.
Yeah. So in that situation, you cough more money.
Hi, my name's Edgar. First things first, I want to thank everybody in the Bears organization who gave my team a great quarterback, the Steelers. Thank you. Appreciate it. I'll be at the game today for the White Sox. Do you really think they're going to win today, or will I be at a historic game?
If you're going to the Sox game, I think you're seeing history.
I wouldn't get engaged at that game. The guy did yesterday.
Yeah,
I think the Sox...
Tonight's the night.
Probably.
Tonight's the night.
If not tonight, then flexing on Thursday sounds good.
A two-game winning streak sounds a bit too ambitious for a team that kind of backed into that one last night.
They beat that team twice not very long ago.
I don't know. It just seems like a tall order. I think you're going to see history tonight.
They're never losing again. True.
Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, Alex from DeKalb. Switching back to the Bulls. Not to throw water on the optimism bubble that you felt there, but to me, when I heard, it seemed very much like a team that is going to do the absolute worst combination of not making the playoffs and not getting their pick protected. And I hope that's not the case, but that is the overwhelming thought that I had. What's
awesome.
The over-under that doesn't happen, I guess?
Whoa. I mean, that is the worst-case scenario. I love that. So you imagine they will win just enough to lose the draft pick, but they won't make the playoffs. They won't make the play-in. Oh, that's beautiful.
Well, that is definitely being stuck in a spot where you don't want to be as an NBA team. And it does sound like the Murphy's Law for this year's Bulls season. If it can't go wrong, it will. And that would be it. Trying to convince yourself or falling into the trap early on that you're going to be good enough to compete for a play-in spot and fall just short of that and be maybe 11th or 12th.
I thought, what about getting Cooper Flag? I thought we had Flag Day scheduled for later in the year.
How many teams are scheduling Flag Days for next June? How many teams are convincing themselves that they have that little bit of a chance? I know he might be that good, but if your chances are that slim, do you really want to focus your season on something? I know in the age of Derrick Rose, 2008, 1.8% chance, all those things did happen in Chicago, but I don't know that they're going to happen again. That would be just so Bulls if that would happen. That would be awful.
That's awesome.
By the way, did you see Derrick Rose?
Yeah, he's
available.
Yeah.
He was waived. He's a free agent.
Yeah,
you should ask them that.
They needed to clean out some money.
Next question.
Would we ask him that?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? My name is Pat from Cedar Lake. Thank you for giving me the chance to be here this morning. It's been a really cool start to the day. So, I called in to Spiegel and Holmes yesterday and asked him about this. I want to get your guys' take. What is your level of disappointment with the Bears not pivoting with the head coach? I mean, and there's the two most glaring examples are in their own division. You look at Minnesota, you look at Green Bay, you look at what Kevin O'Connell's done with Sam Darnold, you look at what LaFleur's done, not just with Love, but more specifically Malik Willis over the last couple weeks. You had a chance to start fresh with Caleb, and you bring Eberflus back. What is your level of disappointment that they didn't go a different direction? And the second part is, what is your level of concern on a scale of 1 to 10, say, if this coaching staff doesn't make it, which I personally don't think it will, and then they got a scratch head coach, offensive coordinator, give them a new system, what is your level of concern that Caleb, that will kind of derail his development as a franchise quarterback?
Those are natural questions after the two-game losing streak, especially the way that they lost. The bad challenges against the Texans and the burnt timeout against the Colts with the two-point conversion confusion. It's fair to wonder about Matt Eberflus, the head coach, today as a 1-2 Bears team gets ready to play the Rams and staring at the third straight loss. Can he be the defensive play caller and still manage the game at the same time? Legitimate questions. I wanted Jim Harbaugh. I was all in on Jim Harbaugh. That's not going to happen in Chicago as long as the McCaskies are there. So I think that's something else. So when they brought him back, I was optimistic. I like Matt Eberflus, the person. He had a good offseason. He had a good second half of last season. But he's got to do better. And I think that if they head down this road, then it's going to be difficult to justify keeping him if they have another losing season. As for its effect on Caleb Williams, some players can transcend coaching changes, regime changes, and I think he's one of those players.
I honestly think that when they did what they did, bringing back Eberflus, I understood that it was about the general manager solidifying his power. He wasn't bringing in somebody else to take over his job to lessen his impact on the team. He had a guy that he felt he could work with and he wanted to work with, and I think they did blow through some red lights, right? They definitely had to... They had to get rid of, or they had to force the defensive coordinator into early retirement. He had to resign, and they had to get rid of the running backs coach. And it was amazing to me to hear them spin that as a sign of their great culture. See, we're holding people accountable, and the people have to go. I don't know that I agree with that. I was kind of like, well, no, your culture's not that great because you got guys that you have to fire, and the coach picked them. And so I think that this all remains to be seen to me. I think that I want to believe that Poles knows what he's doing and that this is going to work out and this is all going to be fun and games. But I don't worry necessarily about Caleb Williams. I just think the idea of getting out of sync with drafting the guy and then changing the system, that's so Bears. That would be so Bears if it were to happen. That would really disappoint me. So it's early, and you hope that Flus can overcome it, and you hope that they can figure out a way to get the offensive coordinator to run the football, and you hope that the quarterback can overcome it. I don't know if that's the case.
You say, and I understand why you would be disappointed, but the question presumes that the Bears would not have a winning season this year.
Yeah.
So the second part of that question I think is easier to answer, because if they don't and they do move on from Matt Eberflus hypothetically, then they're likely to go with an offensive-minded head coach.
Right.
And if he does come into Chicago, you would feel optimistic about Caleb Williams more than pessimistic.
Yes.
Even if he's changing schemes and regimes and coaching staffs, you would feel like, okay – Now he's going to get it. He's got the experience. Now he can take advantage of that.
But how many hires do you get as a general manager? I think he gets definitely another hire. I don't know how many more. And I don't know what it means if they're not successful with the next group. I just think it opens up a whole kind of can of worms, and I hope this works out.
I hope it works out, too, because if the Bears win Sunday against the Rams, and all of a sudden you reset at 2-2, and you think, okay, you look at the schedule a little bit differently. Look, every week, I say it all the time, in the NFL season is a season unto itself. Mm-hmm. So next season, which means next Monday, we might feel very differently about this equation and then answer the question a little bit differently. But I do think Matt Eberflus has got to feel some of the pressure because he was given a reprieve, and now he's got to take advantage of it.
When Flusie stuffs Sean McVay.
See, think about that, though.
Yeah, it just doesn't,
think about how
doesn't
hard
roll off
that
the
is
tongue.
To kind of think. But we will have two coaches who will be going head-to-head schematically, Sean McVay involved with the play calling with the Rams, and obviously Matt Eberflus calling the defensive signals for the Bears. So it will be mano y mano.
Do you want to read that?
Yes, I do, because you can be the sixth caller, not anybody here, unless you want to pull out your cell phone.
You can come
back. You can. Be the sixth caller to the Scores Contest line, 312-540-0670. Win a pair of tickets to see Thomas Rhett with special guests Tucker Wetmore and Dasha Better. The In Boots Tour Saturday, August 9th, 2025, Alpine Valley Music Theater in East Troy, Wisconsin, 312-540-0670.
Hey, we've got Grody time next. Mark Grody in with Dan Bernstein. Always a joy to talk to Mark. And we'll do that next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.